What is the kumsitz? Kumsitz is a play on the words of come sit. And it's not just to come sit and listen to music or come sit and sing. It's come sit and reflect. It's come sit and, you know, use music, which is a physical thing, and use it to bring out the spirituality in us and connect to God in a better, more meaningful, more deeper way. And the first song we're going to start with is a very moving song, a slow song, a touching song, with saying, with the words that are used by Yom Kippur, by the holy day of Yom Kippur, or by Slichus, when we ask forgiveness to Hashem. And without going into exactly word by word what it means, the basic message of the song is that we're asking Hashem, we're saying that we're standing here, we're waiting, we're giving over whatever we can, and we're pouring out our hearts, and we're asking Hashem to respond and pour back into us whatever we pour out. That we're only here for one purpose, then it becomes much easier to do what we need to do.
next song is a Karloff song, Shifti Kamayim. And the beginning of the words is Shifti Kamayim Libeich, that I pour my heart out like water to Hashem. The idea is that I think about this song, I think about the fact that we can always turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is always there to listen to us. He's always there to hear us and listen to our cries and our pleas and whatever we need. We can always turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can pour out our hearts, our souls to Hashem. He's our Father, and He'll always be there to love us and care for us and listen to us.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
The next song is a song that is personally very applicable. Tov l'hodas Hashem. It's good to praise or to sing song praise to Hashem with the zamer l'shem ka'elyon, to praise and to sing to His great name. I remember when my first son was born. This is going back a bunch of years ago. And it was in the hospital, and unfortunately, during my wife giving birth to the baby, there was a lot of, I wasn't familiar with, I'm not a doctor, so I had no clue what was going on, but apparently something serious, because all of a sudden the entire room filled up with nurses and doctors. I got pushed off to the side, no one told me what was going on, and I was nervous. Apparently the baby's heart rate went down or up, one of the two, and it was important to deliver the baby right then and there. Baruch Hashem, my son's fine, everyone's okay. But at the time, all I felt was dread. It's a first-time father, and I wasn't sure what to do with myself. And I sit in the corner, and I just, the tears just open up. And I was begging God, whatever happens, you know, I know it's for the best. But please let everything go out for the best. Please let everything work out. And I was saying to Kapitel of the Tehillim Psalms over and over again. And a nurse comes over to me, and she doesn't put her hand on me. She knows better. But she says, sir, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm praying for my son. And at that time, I turned around, and the baby's out. And the first words I said was, Hodu Lashem ki tov kilam chazdo. It's good to praise God. It's great to praise Him, because when things happen, it's easy to. But sometimes it's hard to even notice that even during the not-so-good times, it's still great to praise Hashem.
I'd just like to add one thing.
Go ahead.
During the not-so-great times, the end of the song, the words are, that we say in the day, we say about Hashem's chesed, His kindness, and we trust in Hashem at night, when things are dark, when you don't know what's going to happen, when things look bleak, have to trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Even though it's hard, you know, we have to keep going at it, and hopefully things will turn out the best, and even if they don't, we have to trust that that's what Hashem wants. Okay, ready?
Yeah. Oh,
play. Just Rabbi Zaitchik, everyone.
The Western Wall, which is the most important spiritual point on the graph of the Jewish world, has been recategorized just a few weeks ago by the UN, and now the Western Wall is considered to be an occupied territory, along with the Temple Mount and all of East Jerusalem. But I'd like to reassure everyone here tonight that we don't need to be too concerned. There's a very beautiful part of our Tanakh, of our Bible, that contains what is referred to as Song of Songs, Shira Shirim, which speaks about the special relationship of love that exists between the Almighty and His people. That's us. And there's a verse in Song of Songs, Hine Omeid Acha Kosleinu. The Almighty stands behind our wall. And the Medrash tells us,
The
Medrash tells us that in these words in the Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim, Hashem did something very unusual. He actually swore that the Western Wall will remain forever, and in fact will become the starting point of the third temple that we're waiting for. Now, you think about that kind of a guarantee, very, very unusual. You know, it's pretty strange to make a guarantee for God to swear that this wall will always be there. You know, God also told us that the rest of the temple would be destroyed. Now, since the temple was destroyed over almost 2,000 years ago, seven different nations have attacked and destroyed Jerusalem. And, you know, if you think about it, God, you know, whoever wrote this guarantee that God, that the Western Wall will always be there, whoever made that kind of a guarantee stuck their neck out pretty far. Because who knows what could happen in the future? If in the future, don't forget, we're not the only ones who read the Torah. Our enemies also read the Torah. And if our enemies see that in our Torah there is a guarantee that this wall will be here forever, all that someone who's trying to pull the rug out from our belief system has to do will be come along with their army and destroy the wall. How hard is it to destroy a wall? So either the guarantor who put these words down either stuck his neck out much too far, he took a ridiculous chance, he put all of Judaism on the line, the veracity of our Torah itself, or the one whose words we are talking about are the words of God, and God controls history. And if God decides that this wall is going to remain, it's not going anywhere. And it hasn't gone anywhere, and Jews from all over the world visit the wall, and they daven at the wall. So this is, I think, a very important example of the fact this wall, this guarantee, this promise, is something that shows us that God is, he's running the show. He's actively involved in controlling history. And I'll tell you a little secret, of course, a very basic idea that we're into, is the fact that not only does God run the, you know, the world events, he controls what's going on, you know, with all the nations of the world, but he also controls the events of our personal lives down to the very smallest detail. And sometimes we get into a situation where we kind of, you know, get a little reminder of this truth. I got a little bit of a reminder myself just yesterday. When I came back from London with my wife, we became aware that a woman who we're very, very close to, who we visited, you know, over the years, she came to Jeff events, in fact, she had been ill for a number of years. We visited her in a home, in a hospital, and we got back, we found out she was in the Calvary Hospice. She wasn't, you know, unfortunately spiraling downward very, very quickly. So I decided, I wanted to get there as quickly as I possibly could. So I didn't want to let Shabbos go by. I decided Friday afternoon I'm going to visit her and try to make, you know, I got to get to see this woman, Lorraine Levy. And I woke up extra early Friday morning. I decided I can't wait till the afternoon. I got up very early and I ran to Davin, and I went straight from Davin straight to Calvary Hospice. And I walked in to the reception desk and I said, I'm here to visit Lorraine Levy. I spelled her name, make sure they got it right. They gave me a little tag, go up to 645. I went up to her room, and there she was. She was, I was so grateful that she was still alive. And, you know, it was a little hard to recognize her. She had lost a lot of weight, and she was, you know, very, very, you know, hooked up to tubes. It was a very, very difficult situation. But she was alert. Could hear my words, only she could hardly say anything. So I spent one half an hour with her. It was a very important half an hour. And at the end of the half an hour, she said to me, I'm tired. So I wished her a good Shabbos. And I left the room. And when I went downstairs to the lobby, I had a little bit of a question mark in my mind. I walked over to the receptionist again and I said, you know, you told me Lorraine Levy, she's in room 645. And she looked at me and said, no, she was discharged this morning at 6 a.m., 3 hours before I arrived. And they gave me the room number of Elaine Levy. Now, I tell you, I was flabbergasted. I mean, I felt bad that I missed the opportunity to visit Lorraine Levy, but I walked out of there wondering, must be that Hashem wanted me to visit Elaine Levy, who I never met before. Why Hashem wanted me to talk to Elaine Levy and tell her what a wonderful person she was and wish her a good Shabbos and give her a drink of water, I will never know. But I realized that this was orchestrated by Hashem. It was not an accident. So I guess if we walk around and we go through life and we are able to use these little incidents that happen to all of us as an instrument, we have instruments here, but we all walk around with instruments to be able to realize Hashem is running the show. And in that merit, our sages tell us, if we work on our emunah and our relationship with Hashem, in that merit, the final redemption will come very quickly. Yeah.
of Mashiach. And even though it delays, I still wait for it every single day. Those are the words that we are singing. Say a few words.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
With your host, Rabbi Vitters!
Okay, so the biggest thanks goes to my wife, who's busy putting everyone else to sleep tonight. So we left her with Bed Bath & Beyond, so I could come out and listen to music. With three generations of Vitters. My mom is here, and my daughter's here. So it's a terrific opportunity to be together with Rabbi Zaychik, and for the wonderful gentlemen who joined us. The Chevra is here tonight, and for all of you participating. So like we've been hearing, in life, believing is seeing, right? Not seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. And sometimes you take a step back, like the story we just heard from Rabbi Zaychik, you really see Hashem orchestrating everything. And I want to tell you a story that's a wonderful story in my mind. I hope you enjoy it very much. Because I was dating my wife. And we went out a few times. I was living in Boston. We went out a few times. We decided we didn't think we were right for one another. We called off the shit. We called off the date. And about 6-7 months later, I saw my wife at a shul event. And I said, you know, Jared, you said, I bet after 120 years, you can go upstairs. They're going to ask you, why didn't you marry that girl? So I decided maybe give another shot. And now, things are a little more complicated. I'm living in Muncie. She's living in Boston. We gave it a second shot. We went out once. We went out twice. It was still slow going. So I got a very good advice from my rabbi. He said, you know, maybe you gotta move things along. She had me out in California for a Shabbos. He said, maybe you should send her some flowers. Okay, no problem. So you get on the phone with 1-800-Flowers. And 1-800-Flowers is a whole system that only they know about what every bouquet means. Because every bouquet means something. So like, you know, you could send like a dandelion, that means, you know, I don't think too much of you at all. You know, and then you could send like a carnation was, you know, I respect you. You know, like everybody's like a little, you know, like everyone's got a little bit of a ratchet. So I sent like, you know, was in my price range, like a couple of violets, which was like, you know, you're cool. And I was like, only they know that. Only they know it is. Anyway, so I send it out, and I get a call, and I'm nervous. What's my wife going to think about this? And then it was like going over the top, and what message am I sending? Is she going to get the right message? Does she know what violets mean? And I get a call. I'm going out to shul. Now, she's out in California. And I'm headed out to shul. And I get a call from my wife, and she says, they are exquisite. I said, all right, okay, check, easy to please, right? Violets cost me $12.99, and I'm in business. Now, she spends her Shabbos in California. I spend my Shabbos in Muncie. Happened to be the This is just a parenthesis just to keep things interesting. Happened to be the couple that she was staying with for Shabbos in L.A. So, you know, I know this guy in New York. His name's Vitters. Maybe interested in dating him. Didn't really know that we're dating him. Anyway, I pick her up the next morning from the airport. From L.A. And lo and behold, she's holding long red stem roses. And I say, I can't believe it. Just my luck. I sent her violets and I get outdone. Someone sent her long red stem roses. But little did I know that 1-800-Flowers got the wrong order.
Oh.
And instead of sending my little paltry violets, she received a dozen red long stem roses.
Oh.
With a vase. Now, I don't have to tell you what message that's sending. Right? Now, I could have been cool. But I'm wondering, how much did I pay for this? So I call up 1-800-Flowers, and I say, they say, well, we did you a favor, because, you know, you only order violets, that's $12.99, and we didn't have violets, so we bumped you up. I say, I mean, you bumped up the message also. It wasn't just the flowers. I was sending, like, I like you, and now you're sending, like, you know, where's the next chuppah? So anyway, lo and behold, Baruch Hashem, I was able to play it cool. And my wife said yes, and we managed to get married in Baruch Hashem. So you know that sometimes in your life, you get that sense Hashem is putting wind in your sails. And you always have to look out for that, just like the story that Rabbi Zaitchi just told you. You get the sense that Hashem is moving us along in the direction He wants to take us, in the direction of growth, in the direction of fulfillment in life, in the direction closest to ultimately what Hashem has in mind for all of us. It's happening like we see all the time. Right? Believing is seeing. So we should all be merit to see God in our lives, bring us close to all fulfillment personally. As a nation, we should be together for many, many wonderful opportunities like this Kumsitz tonight.
Something major.
Let's not do that. I'm
Okay. That was unscripted. We decided that was such a happy message, we just went with it.
Yeah. Okay. I had to feel it. You better make this?
HTB.
What? You better make this? Better make this. Yeah.
Sure.
So, a little speech about the words?
Not simple, but.
Simple, but. Simple, but. Yeah, a little.
Do something a little bit out of characteristic. Usually the songs that we play are older than all of us put together. Tonight, though, with the encouragement of some of our younger members, we're going to play something a little new. Most of you probably don't know, but Simcha will explain, and hopefully we'll be able to grow with the song.
It's a new song with an old message. But I think the message is very, very powerful at these times. Words are Va'afilu ba'astara, shebesoch ha'astara, bevadai gam sham nimsa Hashem Yisbarach. God can even be found in the hidden recesses when things, like in today's time, are the opposite of how it used to be. We're talking about the Western Wall. The Western Wall is what surrounds the Beis HaMikdash, the temple. The times of the temple, God was absolutely revealed to us. It was open. There were open miracles. And it wasn't just a building that we had, the temple. It was a connection that we had, a relationship that we had, an open relationship, an open communication with God that was so open, God was right in front of us. That was what the Beis HaMikdash represented. That's what the temple represented. And now, after so many years of exile, so many years of persecution, hope, despair, good times, difficulty, sometimes it seems it's hastara besoch hastara. It's the hiddenness within the hiddenness. And even then, nimsa Hashem Yisbarach, you could still find the Almighty God. God is always there. Now it just takes a lot more work on our part to scrape away the layers so we can see God. And even Gam Achore Advarim Akashim Omdim Alecha Aleinu, even with all the difficulty, all the tragedy that comes upon us, we say, Ani Omeid, I stand. I stand strong. I stand one with my people. I stand connected, and I see God, and I stand in my faith in God. And it takes a little more work to scrape away those layers, but Ani Omeid, Ani Omeid, Ani Omeid.
Gam me'achor, ayatar, akashim, ahoy, vinolech.
Okay. Yeah. Avraham and Yitzhak will be there to greet us. Yaakov and his sons will stand by and smile.
Thank you.
gentlemen, looking at these guys, if you think that the Jewish people are in for a very bright future, show it by a nice, wonderful applause.
Oh, Thank you.